Well, good morning. That was horrible. Let's try it again. I haven't even started yet. Just give me a second. Good morning. That was a little better. So I figured Brother Greg had asked me if I'd be able to preach this Sunday, and I was like, yeah, sure. And I was really excited about it. So I figured if I'm going to preach, I'm going to preach on something that'd be like super easy, I'd be able to preach without any problems. So in doing so, I decided that today I wanted to talk about what is the meaning of life. Yeah, sometimes I bite off a little more than I can chew, but because we all have different ideas of what this entails, of what is the meaning of life. There are some people that say, well, life is meant to be enjoyed and experienced, and that's the meaning of life, is just enjoying it and experiencing it. And some others, they say, the meaning of life is to love, and to love others, and to serve them. And then there's others that say, no one knows. It's a mystery. No one knows what the meaning of life is. And then others, they say, well, life is a struggle. And still others, they say that we create our own meaning of life. Everyone's meaning is different. And if you're a little bit of a nerd, the answer to the ultimate question of life, the universe, and everything in it is 42. Yes, at least according to Douglas Adams' book, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, the answer is 42. Now the question is, what is the question? But today we recognize the graduates in our service, and I really wanted to tackle this subject because the bottom line is this: if you don't know the meaning of life, then you can't figure out which direction you should head. And before some of you say, well, I'm not a student, so I'm just going to go ahead and check out now, let me tell you, it doesn't matter what age you are, because I preached this to the first service, and there was a whole lot of very wise individuals. It's a nice way to say it. There were a lot of older people in there. And let me tell you, it doesn't matter which age you are, whether you say, well, I'm young, or whether I'm old, and it doesn't matter, because the bottom line is if you don't know what the purpose of life is, then you're going to fail at it. Life is overwhelming when you have no purpose. And this is one of the reasons why I wanted to dig into Ecclesiastes today. I mean, we should be able to find out what the purpose of life is from one of the guys that's the smartest, the wisest, this amazing guy from the Bible, right? We should be able to understand what the purpose of life is from Solomon. The bottom line is that Solomon, he struggled with the purpose, with the meaning of life. The book of Ecclesiastes has always been somewhat of an enigma to me because, you know, when you read it, I mean, this is one of the wisest, one of the wealthiest men in the Bible, and he was the man who built the very first temple of God, a temple that was unequaled in its grandeur and its glory. And this was the man who had ruled over Israel for 40 years as a united kingdom. He was at the peak and the pinnacle of national strength and personal prosperity. You know that Solomon was a man who knew God intimately. In addition to Song of Songs, his prayers, his proverbs, psalms, these were recorded in the Bible as the inspired word of God. And yet when you read Ecclesiastes, you get the idea that either Solomon suffered from some major depression or maybe he was just dropped on his head as a kid. I mean, we don't know. Because we get verses like this, and these are Joe's paraphrased, okay? So we get Ecclesiastes 1:13, and he says, "It's a miserable task to understand everything in the universe. Ugh, such a chore." Or even better, he said, you know what? Life would be easier if I were a moron. And then he goes on, he says, you know what? I hated life. He says, man's fate is like that of the animals. The same fate awaits them both. As one dies, so does the other. You know, all of them have breath. Man has no advantage over the animal. Everything is meaningless. I mean, calm down, Solomon. It's okay. Then he goes on. He's like, hey, you know what? The dead, they're happier than the living who are still alive. Like, can someone please get this guy some Prozac at least? Come on. This is getting really depressing, Solomon. And he goes on, he says, you know what? However many years that a man lives, let him enjoy him. But let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. Everything to come is meaningless. I mean, how would you like to have this guy as your graduate speaker? He's like, hey, guess what, students? I've got some good news for you. Life is horrible. You're never going to find meaning in life. I mean, this guy just comes up, oh, by the way, enjoy your days while you have them, because you're going to die, and you're going to have dark days, and they're going to be bad, and there's going to be a lot of them. Congratulations, class of 2018. You know. That's what we're doing today, though. We're going to be using Solomon's wisdom to understand the meaning of life. And I'm going to tell you, I don't think that Solomon was depressed or he needed some special medication. I think that he was just a man who had tried everything that his heart desired, and he chased after all these things, and he realized that they couldn't satisfy. And so what he did, he was like, let me share you the wisdom that I learned, and I learned this by trial and error. And although Solomon, he had tasted and tried and tested the pleasures of life a million times over, and he drunk deeply from the wells of power, of wealth, of military might, and national prestige during his reign, he lived with these burdens. You think, man, this guy's got a great life, and he's like, I'm struggling. I got to share this with the students when we had a combined service a couple weeks ago, and I shared from Ecclesiastes 2, and this is what Solomon does, and I'm just going to give you the Cliff Notes version of this. Solomon says, look, I've tried everything. Everything under the sun. I've tried this, I've tried that. And he says, look, I've had houses. You know, I haven't had just gardens, but I had whole parks. I've had animals enough to have my own zoo, and the best part is I don't even have to clean up after them. I've got people to do that for me. He's like, not only did I own animals and breed them, but I also owned humans and bred them. I've got more gold than anyone else. You know what? You like a certain song? You like to play that song over and over again? Solomon's like, yeah, I like that song too, so I bought the band, and I'm going to keep them. I'd be like, oh, hey, play track number 7. Okay, great, let's go. It's like, forget it. And not only, you know, if we're talking about all these material things, but you know what else? He had over 1,000 wives and concubines. Anything his heart desired, he was like, I want that. I'm going to own that. It's mine. He says, I denied myself nothing that my eyes desired. If he saw it, he got it. And he, the whole beginning of chapter 2 even says, you know what, he takes it kind of like a science experiment. He says, just to let you guys know, I'm going to try all these things, but don't worry, my wisdom's still here, and I'm going to see if they can satisfy, if they can please myself. And at the end of chapter 2, he says, let me tell you, I tried it. I chased after it all. I've done it all. And it was meaningless. A chasing after the wind and nothing nothing was gained from it. I mean, he offers this blistering critique of the world's inability to satisfy you. Like, hey, you want cars? I've got chariots. I've got horses. I've got hundreds. I've got thousands of them. You like alcohol? You know what? I've got my own vineyards. I've got everything. I've tried it all. He's like, none of this could satisfy. I mean, if anyone could find out that something of this world could satisfy, it'd be the guy that's got everything at his fingertips. He had power, unmatched wealth, hordes of women. I mean, he was recognized by kings. Solomon says it's vanity. Not just vanity, but vanity of vanities. It's like the worst of it. And if you guys understand in the Hebrew, a lot of times what they would do is they would repeat the word if they wanted to emphasize. So if he was like, hey, I'm hungry. But some of you guys might be like, okay, we might say I'm very hungry, but they would be like, I am hungry, hungry. And if you're at the epitome of hungry, you'd be like, I'm hungry, 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 right? And so when he says this, it was his vanity of vanities. He was like, this is the worst. Thanks for being a Debbie Downer. Appreciate that, Solomon. It's great. So the word that he uses here, he uses the word hevel, okay? And this translates vanity or breath or vapor, okay? And he uses this in these 12 chapters over 30 times. When he's describing all these things that he's chased after and done. And this vapor that he describes, this breath, if you want to think of it like this, now it's kind of hard for us to imagine here in Texas, but we did have a cold day one time this past year, right? It even snowed, it was glorious, and then it melted, but it, whatever. Okay, so imagine it's cold outside, and you breathe, and you get to see your breath. And you're like, okay, that's how I know it's cold outside. It's nice. That's basically what Solomon is describing. He says, that is our life. Our life is that breath that we see, and then it disappears and it's gone. That's our life. Once again, thanks a lot, Solomon. This is exciting. I mean, it almost sounds as if, you know, Ecclesiastes, you might as well just close it up. I'm done with it. You know, this is depressing. But now we get to where we want to study in, and it's Ecclesiastes 11. He says this, rejoice, young man, while you are young. Let your heart be glad in the days of your youth and walk in the ways of your heart and in the sights or in the desires of your eyes. And some of us, we're looking at that, we're like, okay, wait a minute, Solomon. Maybe you shouldn't tell people this, because I know some students that if we tell them, hey, go crazy, man, have fun, just do whatever. It will not turn out pretty. Like, wait, I could do whatever I want? Just go ahead and go crazy, rejoice in my youthfulness? I'm going to go all out. But the good news is Solomon doesn't end there. He continues. He says, but know that for all of these things, God will bring you to judgment. Ooh. Solomon's like, you can't just do whatever you want. And he's like, oh, well, actually you can, because I did. But you can't, because you're going to answer for it. We are all going to answer to the things that we've done wrong. So be careful how we live our life. And he continues, he's like, hey, remove sorrow from your heart. Put away pain from your flesh, because youth and the prime of life are fleeting. And I love this, because Solomon points out something that transcends time. What he does is he's like, hey, you know what? When people are young, they think they're invincible. They have, you know, some of the stupid things that they do. They think they won't hurt them or ruin them. And there's oftentimes no sense of mortality. Because when we're young, we're like, man, I can live forever. Because, I mean, I've said in some of these classes or in some of these sermons, and they go on forever. So I've got a long life to live. But yet when you're older and your life is measured more by decades, than years, we understand that life is fleeting. It's that vapor. And time moves so much quicker the older you get. And so he continues on. He says, so remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of adversity come, and the years approach when you say, I have no delight in them. And so basically, you know, Solomon's like, look, I'm desperately trying to tell you, you know, remember God. Remember your Creator. Stop chasing after all these things. Start chasing after God. You know, when we lived in Yuma, I had this this leader, and she was an awesome woman of God. She was a servant. She loved people. She was there for the students whenever they're broken, they're hurting. She was always there. She came with us to camp, and so I asked her, I was like, you know what? Would you be willing to give your testimony to the students? And she was like, no, I can't do it. And I was like, wait, really? No? She's like, no, I can't do it. And I said, okay, I respected her wishes. And later she pulled me aside and she's like, let me tell you why. Before I was saved, I was... She's like, I was a hardcore, rough biker chick. I used to go out and I'd drink it up. I'd get into fights, cuss nonstop, get arrested, generally causing havoc wherever she went. And she was afraid that if she had shared this testimony with the students, then her granddaughter, who is a part of the youth group, would say, you know what? I can do all these things too. I mean, look at grandma. She turned out okay. So maybe I can do all these things too and I'll turn out okay. Personally, I wish she had shared her testimony because I found out later on that her granddaughter decided to go down not the same path, but a very similar one. She had already made so many mistakes, and she was like, you know what? She could easily have said, look, I've lived this life that you're chasing after. Let me tell you, it just leads to brokenness, to heartache, and it's not good. She could easily have warned her granddaughter, but instead she was afraid that they would make the same mistakes. But let me tell you, sometimes the best way to go through a minefield is in the footsteps of another. Because you see where they make mistakes, you see where they mess up, and you say, okay, don't step there. And this is what I think Solomon is trying to do. He desperately desires his readers not to make the same mistakes. As an older man, Solomon is like, look, I'm passing down this advice so you won't make the same mistakes. But I will tell you, so please remember in the Old Testament times, when you considered an old man, around 40. So just to warn you. So you're like, I'm an old man. That's awesome. So Solomon continues and he says, before the sun and the light are darkened and the moon and the stars and the clouds return after the rain and on the day when the guardians of the house tremble and the strong men stoop, and the women or the ones who grind, they cease because they are few. And the ones who watch through the windows, they see dimly. And what basically what Solomon's doing, he's like, this is what it's like to get old. This is what it's like. What's going to happen? The sun and the light, the darkening, it refers to your eyes failing. The clouds returning, some people call it, they say they could refer to the glaucoma of your eyes, the clouds returning. Some people say it's your memory fading as well. The guardians of the house, these are your arms. One time you could defend your house, or you could help repair it, or help build it. But the guardians of the house, they can't do much anymore because they tremble. Goes on and the strong men stoop, can no longer stand upright. The women or the ones who grind, it depends on your translation, the ones who grind cease because they are few. He's talking about your teeth. He's like, you can't chew anymore because you don't have any teeth. this is what's going to happen when you get old. And Solomon's describing this because this is where he's at right now. He's like, look, I'm old, and I want to give you this information. He continues on. He says, the doors at the street are shut, and the sound of the mill fades, and when one rises at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of song, they grow faint. And he continues by pointing out, he's like, look, not only are your eyes going to fail you, but guess what? Your ears are too. It's great. Because you're not going to be able to hear things, but yet still, those birds are going to wake you up in the morning. You're not going to be able to sleep. He continues on and he says, also, they're afraid of heights and dangers on the road. The almond tree, it blossoms. The grasshopper loses its spring. And the caper berry has no effect, for man is headed to his eternal home, and mourners will walk around in the streets. Solomon, he's like, look, when you get older, you get more fearful of people hurting you, whether purposefully or accidentally. I mean, think about this. They would have to travel on the road everywhere that they go, and wherever they went, if they were by themselves. I mean, you had people that were on the highway, they were like, easy money, man. You know, when you're young, you can get hurt playing football, or playing tag in a forest. And you may not feel pain for long, but as time catches up with you, some of the aches, some of the pains, some of the things that you've broken or hurt, they catch up with you. The injuries that you made in your youthful time start to make themselves shown. Remember when I was a kid, I used to run up the stairs all the time. And my dad used to get so mad because I'd just book it up the stairs and take two or three at a time. And he'd be like, what's the hurry? Quit stomping. I was like, I made it up there. But when you get older, you know, you're a little bit more afraid. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But it says, you know, when you get older, you're afraid of falling. You're afraid of getting hurt easily. It says the almond tree, it turns white like hair. And this is in the Middle East. You know, the almond tree would blossom and it would turn white and it would be beautiful. In the same way, he's like, look, this is what's going to happen to our hair. The grasshopper, he's like, you don't have quite the spring in the step that you used to when you were younger. And the things that you once used to desire and long for, they don't really have the same effect anymore. And then you're going to die. So it's like, hey, this is great news. You know, you can tell us we're going to get old, all these things are going to fail, and then we're going to die. This is great. It says, before the silver cord is snapped, what he's talking about is this is your spine breaking. He gets a little bit more detail in depth here in his death. And says, and the gold bowl is broken. This would be like your head getting broken or shattered in. It says, and the jar is shattered at the spring. This would be our heart. And the wheel is broken into the well. There's some different opinions on this, but a lot of people believe that it would be your intestines that start to go out. And the dust returns to the earth as it once was. And the spirit returns to God who gave it. He was like, look, all this stuff could happen and you're going to die. And when you die, you're going to go and you're going to stand before God Almighty. And you know what? It's futile. It's absolute futility, says the teacher. Everything is futile. Because breath, life is that breath. It's that vapor that only lasts for a moment. He continues in verse 9. He says, in addition to the teacher being a wise man, he constantly taught the people knowledge. He weighed, explored, and arranged many proverbs. The teacher sought to find delightful sayings and wrote words of truth accurately. And I love this because in this verse, Solomon is the teacher. And he's like, well, the teacher, he's a pretty wise guy. He's written all sorts of things. And basically what Solomon is doing is he's giving his credentials. He's like, this is the reason why you should listen to me, because I'm wise. Because I know what's going on. I know, I've written all these things, I've written these proverbs, and you should understand and trust me. It says, the sayings of the wise are like goads, and those from masters of collections are like firmly embedded nails. The sayings are given by one shepherd. And I love this because the goad, if you don't know, a goad is basically a sharpened stick. And it would take this stick, and if you ever need to move cows or anything like that, that this stick would basically, if you wanted to move a certain way, and sometimes they use just a little thing with a nail sticking out and just kind of boop, you know, go that way. And they would take the stick and they would prod this animal. They'd be like, go this way. And it would hurt them, so they'd be like, oh, go this way, okay. And they use this stick to prod this gigantic beast to say, you need to be going this way. He says, Solomon's like, this is what these words are. These words are like these sharp points that are supposed to guide us in the right direction. He's like, do you get the point? Is basically what he's asking. But beyond these, my son, be warned. There is no end to the making of many books, and much study wearies the body. He's like, look, I've written books, I've studied, and it's just worn me out. When all has been heard, the conclusion of the matter is this: fear God and keep his commands, because this is for all humanity. For God will bring every act to judgment, including every hidden thing, whether good or evil. You see, he started this passage and he says, look, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. This is what you need to do. And this is not passive. This is something active. This is something that you need to continually be doing. And I know some of you guys are thinking, you know what, Joe, I'm not young anymore. And I understand that some of you guys may not have the same energy or the same vigor that you used to have, but the principle still holds because you still have days left. You may like be like, look, I don't have these young, full of energy days anymore, but you know what? God's still like, look, give me your best, even when you don't have many left. So many times we get content with just coasting on by. And personally, I know that some of you say, look, you know, I'm old, but you still serve him, and you still love him, and you still give him your best even when you feel like you don't have much left to give. And I love it because this is an amazing example for the younger generation. Because I know sometimes, like, whether we're building the stage back here, I've seen some of you guys, older guys, outwork all of us. This is an awesome example to say, look, we need to give our very best to God. And let me tell you guys, students, when you're young, you have a lot of energy, you have tenacity, you have strength that people lose as they get older. And so what Solomon is, and what I hope you grasp today is give God your very best before it's too late. Because Solomon did that. He's like, look, this is why I'm well suited to give you this instructions, because man, I ruined my life. Because if you're not content with God, you're not going to be content with the things that he gives you with his hand. 2 Chronicles 1, God gives Solomon this blank check, and he's like, hey, Solomon, I want to give you something. I like you. You're amazing. You're a pretty cool dude, so I'll give you whatever you want. Just tell me what you want. I mean, if God gave you a blank check to give you whatever you want, what would you ask for? You see, Solomon didn't just ask for wisdom. What Solomon asked for, he says, I want wisdom to be able to help guide the people of the Lord in the ways of the Lord. I want to be able to help God's people to follow God. I want the wisdom to be able to do that. And then in 1 Kings 11, he's like completely turned away from God, and God is so upset with him. He's like, Solomon, your heart is turned away from me. See, Solomon had tried everything under the sun, and finally in his old age, he realized that he chased all the wrong things. I don't think Ecclesiastes is a story about a depressed man or a man that just is broken. Well, he is broken, but I don't think it's just that. I think that Ecclesiastes is a story of an old man who had lost his treasure. When he was younger, he passionately loved God, and this is the story of his returning to find that treasure. Solomon is saying to the younger generation, look, you're going to die. So before you die, before you get old, love your life and love the Lord that gave you that life. Live life to the fullest. You see, Jesus, he only lived 33 years, but his life was full. Solomon has all these depressing passages simply for this reason. Remember your Creator. Fear the Lord. Obey His commands. And this is his conclusion. He's like, look, if, you know, I want you guys to understand this. If you guys don't understand this already, if you don't fear God, then you're going to fear someone or something else. You see, too often we do this. We sacrifice our time, our money, our devotion on the altar of some fake God. And sometimes it's people, sometimes it's things, because we're like, hey, maybe this person or maybe this thing will make me happy. So what we do is we give our time, give our money, our devotion. We give all these things, and really what we're doing is we're just playing with idols. Because one day there will come a time in your life when you realize that the things that you pour all your money, all your time, all your affection into, if it's a thing, it can't love you back. And sometimes when we do that for people or things, we say, you know, I put so much into this relationship. You know, I love them more than, you know. Well, you know what? We should love God most. Because if we don't, what if they're a fickle God? What if it comes to later on in our life where they don't love us as much as we thought they did? We come to the point of saying, who is it or what is it that I send for? What is it that we turn away from the Lord of all creation and turn to? And for Solomon, the answer was D, all of the above. He's like, I chased after these things, all of them. I went after all of them. Everything I saw, I was like, I want that, and I had it. And so he cries out to this younger generation. He says, live your life for the Lord. Nothing in this world will satisfy you. Let me tell you, the stability that comes with walking faithfully with God when you're younger will help you as you get older to weather the storms, to walk in difficult circumstances later in life. You see, God wants you to be content. A lot of people think that, oh, God wants us to be happy. No, God wants you to be content. God wants you to be content with everything that he gives you. He wants you to be content with the things that he gives you, but he says, but wait, I don't want you to be content with the way you are, because you are a work in progress. And until I call you home, you are not perfect. So don't be content with being the same person that you were yesterday. I had a pastor that used to say all the time, if you're not closer to God today than you were yesterday, then you've already backslidden. Every day, we need to grow closer and closer to Him, passionately trying to live and to love like Him. I want to close in Colossians 3. It says, so if you have been raised with the Messiah, seek what is above, where the Messiah is. Seated at the right hand of God, set your minds on what is above, not on what is on the earth. Sometimes we get so blinded by all the things around us. We chase after it. We think, man, maybe this will make me feel better. Maybe this will help me feel loved. The sad part is it doesn't. And so we're left desperate, broken, despondent, simply because we're chasing after creation instead of the Creator. So my charge to you seniors, before you die, give your best to God. Every moment, live out your life for God. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for loving despite us, for caring for us even when we turn away from you. Forgive us when we chase after all these things that the world has to offer, and yet we're left unsatisfied. Lord, I pray that you would give each and every one of us the strength and the desire to pursue you, to follow your Son who died on the cross for our sins, to live for him every day, to live like him, to love like him. Lord, help us to give you the best of our days, no matter how many we have left. Lord, we thank you and we love you. We pray these in your name. Amen.